Most of us, I think, like to think of ourselves as basically honest people. I think I'm a pretty honest guy, and you probably feel the same about yourself. We like our yes to be yes, and our no to be no. And we don't want to cheat others. We don't want to deceive others. We don't want to lie to other people. We like to keep it that way. In fact, there have been studies in the field of ethics which show that people generally feel that they are pretty moral people. People value very much the idea of honesty. They have a strong belief in their own morality, and they want to maintain that self-concept. They want to keep it that way. That's pretty clear. And so when the chief priests were asked by Jesus and the elders, which of the two sons did the will of the Father, it was pretty easy for them to respond. They said, well, it was the one who at first said he wouldn't go, but then finally did go and do the work in the vineyard. It was he who regretted it, but then went finally. The other son, who said right up front, yes, sir, I'll go, but then just blew it off and did not go, obviously was not doing the will of his father. It was easy for the chief priests and the elders to recognize that doing the will of the Father finally was the important thing, not to just give the impression externally that they were going to do it. When you can plainly see that you are wrong, like the one son who regretted it and then went and did the will of his father, when you can plainly see that you've got the wrong stance or taken the wrong position, it should be easy enough to recognize it and to correct it. And in theory, and in the abstract, it is very easy. But realistically, we human beings don't always see things as clearly as we should, because we play all kinds of games with ourselves to justify our actions, to justify our positions. And sometimes it's very difficult to see that you've been wrong all along. Sometimes our blindness, sometimes our inability to see that we have gone wrong can have terrible, terrible consequences. Today is September 11th, the 8th anniversary of that tragic day when our nation found itself under attack, when 19 misguided terrorists armed with box cutters took control of four airliners to wreak horrible destruction, leaving thousands and thousands of people to mourn their loved ones who died that day. Probably those terrorists were not going to be deterred, for they had become, as the experts in terrorism say, they had become radicalized. It means they had become hardened in their ways. It means that they were not going to look at any other alternatives. They were bent on destruction. Their minds were made up, and nothing was going to change them. And so even today, we live with those wounds and those scars and that state of perpetual caution and suspicion, wondering what or when next. In a sense, I think you could say that the same was true with the chief priests and the elders in our text. In a sense, too, they had become radicalized. Jesus, you see, does not condemn them because they had made a wrong decision. Jesus does not condemn them because they had made a mistake or committed an error or because they had blundered onto the wrong path. But rather, he condemns them because they would not and they could not, they refused to recognize the fact that the man standing before them was the Messiah, the very Son of God, who had been pointed out to them by John the Baptist, who confirmed who he was and who had sent him by his preaching and by his miracles. They refused to recognize that it was he who was standing right before them at that very moment. They just wouldn't admit it. Yes, they were very zealous in putting up a front of religious piety. And in fact, they held positions of authority and responsibility in the temple and among the people. They were the ones to look up to in terms of religious knowledge and stature I guess like the seminary professors and the district presidents of today. Just kidding. Really, here you can see how in spite of all of this external appearance of piety, Jesus just turns everything completely upside down. When he declares to them that in spite of their position, in spite of their outward show of piety, that the tax collectors and the prostitutes were going to enter the kingdom before them. We too can sometimes get overly impressed with externals. How easy it is for us to think that we're doing the right thing by saying, "Yes, Lord," with our mouths, but then not following it up with our actions. Talk is cheap. Our Lord here shows us that the key to doing the will of the Father is not to be found in externals, but rather in recognizing and regretting where we have gone wrong. And by trusting in that way of righteousness, that way of righteousness that had been pointed out to them, to those chief priests and those elders by John the Baptist, but that they had ignored. This event in the life of Jesus, this conversation that he had with the chief priests and the elders, is really a call to repentance, and it's an urgent call. Jesus is calling those stubborn Jews who were opposing him, those who were seeking to seize him, those who were seeking to do away with him. He was calling them to recognize the seriousness of their situation, to reconsider, to regret that, to repent of it. Because while they may fool others with their piety, and they may have even fooled themselves, obviously they did, yet they cannot fool God, who looks to the heart and judges rightly. I think we can get the picture here, can't we? Given the context of this event, it all took place during the week of Christ's Passion, the cleansing of the temple, the many conflicts with the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees. The hour was drawing near. And finally, just a little bit later in this chapter of Matthew in verse 23, Jesus would say, "Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it." Outward appearances can be deceiving, but God cannot be fooled. All of our external piety, our dead ceremonialism, our pretentiousness, all of our self-righteousness, our arrogance, all of our pride, all of our condescension, all of those things that we sometimes find ourselves clinging to make ourselves feel good about ourselves or to impress others, all of that is like that son who said to his father, yes, sir, I'll go, and then forgets about it about as quickly as he's out of his father's sight. But to those who repent of their self-centered pride and conceit, to those who, as our text says, regret where they have gone wrong, to those who go to him believing, he promises great things. He promises the kingdom of God. In our text, the self-righteous Jewish leadership is contrasted with the most despised people of all, the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Yet those tax collectors and those prostitutes, when they were confronted by the preaching of John the Baptist, recognized where they had gone wrong. They regretted it. And they trusted then in the way of righteousness that John was pointing out to them. They trusted in the work of the Messiah, who had, by his life and his death and his resurrection, washed away all of their sins. And so theirs was the kingdom of God. They say that in any story, the reader or the hearer can identify with someone in the story. And so I wonder, who do you identify with in this story? The one son who said he would go, but then didn't? Or the one son who at first said he didn't, but then regretted it, and did go? I suppose we would have to say that in some ways we can identify with both. We all know what it's like to say one thing and do another. We know better than anyone our own hypocrisy. But we can also identify with that other son. Because thankfully, we know what it's like to regret. We know what it's like to repent. And we know that it's not a bad thing to do so. It's not a bad thing. We know what it's like to repent and turn to God in faith, to enjoy the great blessings that He has offered to us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. We know what it's like to be able to free ourselves, to quit lying to ourselves about our own honesty, because we have a greater honesty, we have a greater righteousness, we have the perfect righteousness of Christ, which is ours by faith. And with that righteousness, we too will enter into the kingdom of God. And what more could we want? In the name of Jesus, amen.